You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. What is happening with the state's poorest performing schools? The upcoming holiday break kind of marks the halfway point in this school year, which is especially important for 37 Michigan schools fighting for their lives. They were put on the state's closure list last spring after years of poor test scores. But they've entered into a partnership with the state, kind of an intensive care unit for troubled schools. And approximately 40 schools will likely join that partnership based on their 2017 test scores. Chalkbeat Detroit reporter Aaron Einhorn recently visited a Detroit elementary and middle school threatened with closure last spring, and she's with us now via Skype. Aaron, remind us once again, just what did it take for those endangered schools to remain open this school year? What terms and conditions did the state lay down?
As you may recall, the state had identified 38 schools for the closure list because they had been at the bottom of state rankings in the bottom 5% for 3 years in a row. And the state was planning to close down every school unless there were extenuating circumstances, such as no other school that kids could attend. And there was strong political opposition. There were lawsuits filed by several school districts. And, you know, Governor Snyder, instead of going forward with that, decided to partner with the State Department of Ed and to create an alternative that was called the partnership model. And they became partnership schools, where the districts and the schools would partner with universities, intermediate school districts, other organizations that could potentially help them. And they were given targets that they had to meet. And it was different targets for each school, kind of based on each school district had a different partnership agreement. And there's certain targets that they need to meet within 18 months, certain targets that they need to meet within 36 months. And if they aren't able to meet that target, there could be other consequences for the schools down the road.
And those consequences, it's clear from your story, are kind of unclear.
For sure. The partnership agreement leave it to the district to determine what to do. So if the targets aren't met, and some of those targets have to do with improvement, so schools need to show improvement over time. Some of them have to do with the MSTEP, the state standardized exam. They have to, you know, go from, say, 3% passing the test to 5 or 6 or 7% passing the test. And schools that don't make the grade aren't able to do that, the district would then be asked to impose some kind of change, which could be the school shut down, could be the staff replaced. Districts have the option to turn schools into charters. But I should also add that the partnership agreement isn't state law, and it's something that Governor Snyder has embraced as an alternative to closing schools. But a new governor is going to be elected next year, and a new governor could have a different plan. So even if a school is in the partnership agreement, it could still be closed down by the next governor.
Now, you told this story through the eyes of the principal at Bethune Elementary Middle School in Detroit, Principal Alessandra Woods, who really, she put it out there for you. She said, we've got sixth graders at a third grade level. What are the two big tasks that have to be met and quickly?
Well, so that's what's really interesting about kind of what happens at schools that are struggling is that if you're at a third grade level, the school's going to work on bringing you up to the fourth grade level and to the fifth grade level. But when it comes time to take the MSTEP, if you're in the sixth grade, you're going to get the sixth grade test. So even if a child improves dramatically from the third grade level to the fifth grade level, if you add 2 years of skills, you know, within a 6 month period, most people are going to say, well, that's terrific. But when you take the state exam, you're still going to be behind. So what schools like this, what makes it really difficult to do school turnaround is this idea that you have to do both things at the same time. So you got to get the tutors in there and small group instruction and one-on-one instruction to really help the kids catch up on things that they missed out on last year for some reason or the year before. And at the same time, you have to teach them what they need to learn this year. So you might have to learn how to multiply whole numbers and fractions at the same time in order to make sure that you're learning grade level skills now while also catching up on the stuff that maybe because of excessive absences or maybe your family moved a lot or maybe you had an illness or you had some other kind of major disruption in your life that caused you not to succeed in third grade or fourth grade or fifth grade. You're in the sixth grade now. You've got to learn all of that stuff at once. And that's really can be quite difficult for schools to be able to do both of those things at the same time.
It seems this is like a top-down and bottom-up challenge, a kind of a catch-22, it seems. How does Principal Woods like her chances of succeeding, of accomplishing these two big goals?
Well, she's got a lot of hope. And, you know, I guess you have to be in that job and to come to work every day and do that. But, you know, she's focused on instruction. You know, principals in Detroit don't necessarily have a lot of control over who comes to teach in their schools because there's a teacher shortage. So to some extent, you know, you're sort of just really scrambling to try to fill every classroom. But then once that teacher is there, you know, she goes and she observes the classroom and she looks for opportunities. They're doing a reading comprehension lesson and, you know, maybe is what they're reading rigorous enough? So she suggested to one teacher, maybe use a passage from last year's MSTEP instead of another article. To another teacher who was having students give oral presentations in class, she said, well, have them do some writing too, because the test is going to be looking for writing. So can we include more writing in the classroom? Can we include more math, you know, in the social studies curriculum? You take what you have, and she's got lots of tutors. There's a city year program, which is recent college grads. Just get lots of time, focus on the instruction, focus on the academic deficits, and really just kind of do as much as you can for these kids as quickly as you can.
And this story's been repeated all over. You know, when we're thinking about the schools threatened last spring with closure, and then we've got 40 or so more that will likely be added to the partnership program based on their 2017 test scores. Now, are these schools getting substantial help from the state, or is the state kind of just standing there in the background with arms crossed and foot tapping, watching what the principals and teachers are doing?
I think it's different in different districts. The partnership program doesn't have any extra funding for schools. The state has been assigning liaisons to work with the schools to kind of better help them navigate existing programs, existing grants, existing supports to make sure that the schools are maximizing the level of support that they're getting. In the city of Detroit, it's complicated by the fact that close to half of the schools are now in the program. And so there's a new superintendent who's kind of ramping up support for all of the schools in the district. These schools, he says, the partnership schools might get some new supports like student mental health programs a little bit sooner, but it's not like they're, you know, these are the schools that need the most help, so they're going to get some more money. That's not a possibility at this time.
Erin Einhorn, Chalkbeat Detroit. Great talking with you, Erin. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.